What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. This week, I am sitting down with Dr. Stacy Stevenson. And a little bit about Dr. Stacy, she is a certified nutrition specialist. She's a doctor of chiropractic, and she really focuses on integrative, regenerative, anti-aging, and natural medicine modalities. She is the best-selling author of Vibrant, a groundbreaking program to re-energize, own your health, and glow. And she is also the author of her most recent book, which just came out, Glow, 90 Days to Create Your Vibrant Life from Within. So on this episode, a few things that we dive into is what you can start doing to live a more vibrant life. If you feel like you need more energy in your life, we're going to give you some things you can specifically do to start having more energy. Such an important part of life. We talk about how Dr. Stacy kind of found her way into medicine when it wasn't something that she originally planned on doing. And we talk about so much more inside this episode. You're going to get a lot of value, especially if you're looking to have more energy in your life. And so without further ado, we are going to dive right into the episode. So here we go. Dr. Stacy Stevenson, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Gorgeous summer, yeah. Gorgeous summery moment.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, if you're hanging out with us on YouTube, you can see your background, which is like, it's beautiful day where you are. So So I figured where we could start is I would love to hear your kind of like origin story as far as how you came into medicine, right? You know, one of the things I was mentioning to you that we talk about on the show a lot is figuring out, like, how do you figure out what you want to do with your life, right? How do you figure out kind of what your purpose is or what you want to do with your life? And I think oftentimes we have moments, right, of saying, wow, like, I've kind of figured out what I think I want to do. And so for you, you've done so much work and made such an impact, not only with what you've done in, you know, your medicine practice, but with the stuff you do with cancer and so much that you do on an amazing level. And we'll dive into a lot of that. But I would love to hear from you, like, the origin story of, like, when was this sort of idea or purpose, like, planted inside of you?
That's a very big question. I think I've been wondering what I wanted to do with my life since I was three. Like, really? I mean, I was one of those people that already was always thinking ahead, and I never knew exactly what it was, but I knew it needed to be thought about, if that made sense. For some reason, I intuitively knew that one needed to think about these things. And I can remember even at 10 or 12 or 14, where, you know, everybody's talking about what they're going to do when they grow up. I envied the people that said, oh, I know I'm going to be a doctor. Oh, I know I'm going to be a lawyer, or I know I'm going to move to London and be in business, or I'm going to be in theater, or I'm going to be an artist. I like really envied those people. And a lot of them, I noticed, like, those that sort of know really early their exact trajectory, they do it.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Like, something is in them that's telling them that's true. Their path. And that's beautiful. But I think for me, it was more always looking from a passion sense, which is really hard to do. I think that's difficult. And I personally, I don't want to sound old in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, I've been through the 20s, of course, and the figuring out what you want to do. And I wandered a lot around, which I'll share. Yeah. But ultimately, it really was competitive athletics that were my sweet spot. And I was a 16-year competitive figure skater. And that really set the tone and the passion. Yes. Loved academics, always did. But school came very easily for me. And not like, I'm not the person that never studied. But I wasn't, I was never the person struggling in academia.
You got it pretty quick.
Far ahead of there. Started everything early. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No offense, the whole they called it different things back then. Again, making me sound older, but I was figure skating really spoke to me because I tried gymnastics. I tried, I think, every sport. My dad was a sportsman, and he was gonna make his daughter some sort of an athlete.
Yeah,
whatever it was. It was baseball. I mean, he tried everything. Basketball, was it? Gymnastics, was it tennis? I did it all, but I liked it. Yeah. It wasn't a stage kind of thing. I loved it. And I still remember to this day, and I think I speak about it a little bit in Vibrant, but I think it might have been edited. That's the thing about books. A lot comes out and a lot gets edited.
It's filtered,
right?
Yeah.
Filtered. Well, you know, you have to. And I remember to this day wishing to find that sort of childhood passion that would carry you. I think I had a vision of maybe through college or something like that, a sport. Was it music? I loved music as well. 3-4 instruments there as well. But nothing really caught my fire until I literally remember my dad lifting me up over the boards in the figure skating arena, in the arena. And I can still sense my blades touching the ice. And it's rented skates and it's, you know.
It was like the first time you touched ice with skates.
With blades.
Yeah, blades.
And it was, I think in Chinese medicine, I mean, you would probably call it one of those primordial qi moments.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking energy, just connection, instant. You have no clue. I'm a kid. I'm 6. But I can still feel the sense.
That's so cool.
I didn't know anything but just connecting to that arena. And that was
interesting.
It.
Interesting.
That was it. I was hooked. 100% and kept going that direction, probably surprised the living daylights out of them that I stuck with it because I was just insistent. And, you know, kids insist on everything. I'm going to be a basketball player. I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to be an actor. Yeah. No. I was like, this is figure skating. So blah, blah, blah. Fast forward. I had a phase of 2 years where I had, I think, every living, breathing infection, injury. It's just like, boom.
Yeah.
And I had a pivotal injury of my Achilles tendon, the traditional traumatic tear, but I had a lot of other things that had just started going on. I'm sure it was stress. I was always working my way through university. I developed a real estate company during university and rehabbed homes. So all the things everybody's doing on TV now with the, you know, fix up my house.
And you were doing that while going to school?
I was doing that to go to school. That would be more college, but I was still skating.
Yeah.
Working on the real estate and really got dragged down. Just really dragged down and didn't realize it because you're so young, right? You're like, I can do this. Who cares? I'm fine. I can work all night. I can study all night. I can train. I can overtrain for 5 hours. Oh, that injury. Oh, who cares? I'm fine. Oh, I had strep throat 3 days ago. Not to worry. Right? Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so long story short, had a more actual traumatic moment that took me out of what was hoped to be my Olympic year. And I wasn't on the team yet.
Right.
But it was
going through qualifiers and
And there was another moment. I remember falling. I'd never broken a bone, torn a ligament, or had any substantive trauma in all those years of training. Just bruises, bumps, a million falls, you know that. But nothing had ever taken me out. And I can still remember falling and going, this is it. This is the big one.
Dang.
And I'm not joking, in that second, I had another, I said, cannot make your living as a professional athlete. Don't go there. Use your head.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the moment that I set foot on the ice and then the moment that it was over, I knew. And then I super pursued medicine at that point. I already had decided that healthcare was my field.
Yeah.
But I have to say I was half-hearted kind of in it. I just was good at it, but I hadn't deeply dedicated, like knew that it was the right thing. I feel like I was kind of punching the ticket.
Yeah. So did you have, I mean, obviously as an athlete, you're working a lot with sports medicine people, right? I'm sure you're doing all sorts of exercises, stretches. So was that sort of where the inception came, is like, if I can't be the athlete, I can be the person kind of helping them. Yeah.
Yes. And so it was like, okay, sports medicine, that's what I'm doing. Check, done. Boom.
Yeah. So it was a pretty seamless transition for you then.
It wasn't my fit. The sport athletic part wasn't really my fit. I can do it. I don't mind helping people. But interestingly, I got much more connected to and fascinated with chronic disease processes and cancer. Huh. And I had no real expectation. I didn't have a family member that died of cancer, you know, immediate.
Yeah.
But I felt very pulled in interning and rounds. Even though you have oncology is such a specialty as a student, you're not really in that soup. You're observing, you're learning, you're reading, yes, but you're not really, really in that soup. But I just felt very compelled by their stories, and especially younger people. For some reason, the younger cancer patients really caught me off guard in a fascinating way as humans, 100%, but also deeply, all I could think about was, how do you prevent this? Like, this isn't right. There's always been a small percentage of childhood cancers in human history. Cancer has always been with us, actually.
Right. It just gets activated.
That go thousands. Yeah. But it probably was typically something that existed as a result of aging. And whether that aging at that time was 30, you know, and people only lived to 35, or that aging was 60 or 65, and, you know, they're living in harsh conditions.
Yeah.
Cancer is the emperor of all maladies, and it has been explained and talked about in ancient history, or described in ways that we can now understand was cancer. However, we don't have a lot anthropologically or historically in younger ages of cancers. So from childhood into the young adulthood, the 20 to 35 range, we don't have, I'm sure it must have existed a little bit because of the amount of childhood leukemias that we see. Those probably were around blood-based cancer.
Yeah.
But they probably have killed very, very fast before anyone sort of figured much out. That being said, so when I would see those younger patients at, you know, 25, 28, 30, 35, who oftentimes made it through their battle, but it often claimed them the second time around is a lot of times the rhythm. I kept saying, what are we doing wrong? Not the traditional treatment. What's going on in our world? What's going on in the environment? What's going on in the diet? What is going on in the nutritional world? They're too young. There has to be something exposure related due to the number of cases escalating.
Yeah, it's more like the preventative approach.
Yeah, and you just sort of sense it. You know, you go to school in medicine, nursing, in my personal opinion, most of the health professions, we start off thinking we're going to help people. And I know we do, and I know we are, and all of us intend candidly, and then you learn that there is a very rigid structure you must follow. Right?
Yeah.
And it can be disillusioning because you have this exciting energy that you're there to assist. And you are, but you're put in a lane. And the lanes are kind of carved candidly early because people just sort of fit certain specialties or certain parts of healthcare, and the more seasoned health professionals, they know it. They've seen this playbook before. They can almost say, you're going into orthopedic surgeon, you're going to be an internist, you're going to be a dermatologist, don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's not their job to do that, but you kind of fit into these lanes. And then once you're in that cycle, then it's very rigid as to what you do in that.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Right.
I was a little rebellious. Not crazy rebellious.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it's like you were putting in a box, right? And you didn't necessarily want to be in the box. So is that what then took you to kind of taking this more holistic, full life approach, preventative?
Yes.
That's what ultimately took you to that place.
Yeah. I think between the athletics and the little bit disillusionment from traditional pathways of healthcare training, those two. And then, of course, to your point, I led a healthful life. I didn't drink. I didn't realize that I was basically following all these functional medicine principles, but I was.
Interesting.
And the combination of the healthful living and my personal experiences, and I began to look at other options in health and wellness. Loved nutrition. You don't learn any nutrition in traditional tracks, period, end of story. It doesn't matter that there's a course here and there. You need
What would you say is the biggest difference? Like, if we look at it at like a basic level, what would you say is the biggest difference between traditional medicine approaches and then holistic medicine approaches?
It's actually very, very simple. It's the individual approach. Or there are a lot of words, precision medicine, individualized, tailored.
Yeah.
You know, then people sort of use these words like concierge and those sorts of things. But at the end of the day, it's human by human by human. So truly unique, individualized medicine. We have to be generalists always. All of us always have to be generalists first, right? We have to have our basic science. We have to have our diagnostics. You have to own all that. You have to know how to examine, that's a must. You know, you can't jump from A to Z.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you can't just take a course in integrative medicine and have no background, right?
That's, right.
It's valid, but it's individualizing and meeting that human being where they are, watching to make sure, of course, that they're not at risk for something severe in the moment, which is called triage. But then the question becomes, where are they in their health journey that they value? What do they want in their health journey? I could look at you and say, you're 40 pounds overweight. Yes, doctor. People know.
Yeah.
Yes, doctor, I know. Your blood pressure's high. Yes, doctor, I know.
Yeah.
And then the next step might be, well, I'm not really worried about that because actually my joints are bothering me or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
I need that to root canal. So I really don't care about my weight and my blood pressure at this moment. You have to hear those signals. Now, I would be thinking, oh my God, I'm going to explain to you that if we get you 20 pounds down and we get you moving and we get your exercise going and we get you energetic and things like this. But if they're not ready for that, as providers, we have to figure a way to keep them as safe as we can, give them as much empowering information as we can that's digestible to them, at the right moment, right time, right prescription.
Yeah.
And try to design a journey for them and push them a little.
Yeah.
But if it's not accessible, if they're not accessing the readiness to change, essentially,
then it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they deserve the education. And I believe that everyone deserves 100% to know all options in their health journey, certainly when it's being delivered by a professional. We need to tell you what we know, what we can do, what you can read, where your risks are, and it needs to be digestible.
Okay.
So that's kind of the higher sort of clinical stuff. But then over the years, I've become I became more and more and more enamored of really working in that daily fitness and wellness space. Because I realized this, and this is the last thing I'll tell you on that. I could see a health and fitness oriented and wellness integrative medicine patient every single week and coach the living daylights out of them. And we could make huge progress. And it's lots of fun.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to see people make their goals.
Yeah.
But guess what? They spend most of their time with themselves. They spend most of their time with their family. They spend most of their time in their own world, and we're not there as health professionals. So we need to arm them that they don't need us in their lifestyle plan eventually. Not zero. But my goal would be that when you learn something, you don't need to touch base with us as frequently.
Yeah.
You can utilize books and courses.
Yeah, it's like the old adage, give someone a fish, feed them for a day, teach them to fish, feed them for a lifetime. So, So if we switch pages a little bit, but not totally, you know, obviously you have both your books, Vibrant and Glow, Glow being the one that just recently came out. I'm curious, kind of if we look at Vibrant, you know, at a basic level with all these different people, I want to dive more into like how our listener can have more vibrance in their life. But to start off, can you just share with us, like for you, what is your definition or belief of like what a vibrant life really is?
I do think it is what you design, but it is at core having the energy you need, having the right mindset that you need to achieve your goals, whatever they are. You need your fitness. You need to feed the machine. You physically literally have to feed the machine. And you have to do that through moving your body, through what you put in your mouth, and essentially your spiritual and relational world. And you need tools for all of those. And ultimately for me, vibrant meant, hey, guys, there aren't any crazy new magic diets. There aren't any shortcuts. We know human physiology. We know metabolic medicine. We're going to learn more and keep tailoring it and keep tailoring it and keep tailoring it. But I have been fascinated by the escalation in the last, I would say, 5 to 8 years of extreme fad diets that have really, I will tell you, shocked me. There have always been fad diets. Probably the one you've heard of the most is like Atkins, the keto.
That's what I was thinking of.
Was a version of ketogenic. It wasn't an actually perfectly accurate ketogenic diet. He was following accurate ketogenic principles in his labs, and that's how he was helping cardiac patients. But when it became commercialized, and still to this day, really, it's not true quite to the metabolism in order to create it from a commercial perspective. And that's an example. Then there was the low carbohydrate craze, which stands today a lot and is a bunch of baloney. But they've escalated and then nutritionists and functional docs like me and wellness docs like me, we were always sort of fighting those diets. But now they're the rate of them. And I'm sure it's because of social media. No offense. The rate of providing that misinformation in that dietary space has escalated. So the value is you can listen to things. The trouble is you have to now filter it.
Right. And
most viewers aren't going to have the sophistication to filter the really extreme things. So my reason for Vibrant was to say, it might sound boring, but this really is a marathon. Your health, your wellness, your fitness are a marathon. They're not 2 weeks.
So if there was, I was going to say, if there was like, you know, let's say our listeners going, I want more energy in my life. I want more vibrance, right? I want more of that vitality in my life. What would you say are a few things, maybe, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 things someone can do to start moving in that direction? Obviously it's different because you can't sit down with them and say, what are you currently doing? So it's, again, it's not the individualistic approach like you mentioned, but from all the people you've worked with, like, are there a few principles or pillars of things people can do to kind of get them on track?
There really are, which is, I realized that with Vibrant and then later Glow, because everything doesn't have to be terribly complex. Number one, I do support a gluten-free, dairy-free diet overall. High greens, clean fats, clean proteins. Those are some more simple approaches that people can actually learn more online. We have 40 recipes in Vibrant. There is a 90-day kickstart plan. I do know this. Some people, you can hand them a shopping list and go, here are the foods. And they love it. And they can do it. Yeah. So that's in Vibrant. Some people want, a calendared, here are my meals.
Yeah.
Have the green salad at 10 o'clock. Some people love that and can do that. That's in Vibrant. And some people just love to absorb the information and sort of put it together, the journey themselves. So I try to apply all of those three. I try to approach everyone's different learning styles in Vibrant.
Yeah.
Dairy-free, gluten-free, high greens. It's essentially a modified Mediterranean diet, which you all are probably tired of okay, we heard it, doctor. Yeah. Well, hear it again. Sorry. Let me just say it another way.
Yeah.
And it's okay. There are other valid diets, but cleaner eating. I'm sorry, your mom told you to get your fruits and vegetables. It sounds so stupid. Get rid of the processed stuff. Clean out your pantries.
Yeah.
You have to buy food. You might as well buy the best food that fits your budget that you can within your knowledge base. Get out of the freezer sections. I mean, I've just given you a dozen things, which is probably too much. Get out of the processed foods as much as you possibly can. That might be one of my easiest thoughts. When I talk about gluten-free, we could do whole shows on that. It doesn't mean I'm saying everyone is sensitive or allergic, but it's a much deeper discussion, actually. Hmm. But grains are a little bit I'm not going to say enemy, but grains in general are proving more and more to drive the diabetes epidemic. The carbohydrate metabolism, we actually are learning more and more based on decades and decades of learning. Huh. That is truly, it's the throttle. It's the throttle that's really driving it. The gluten piece is autoimmune linked largely. Grains, just transferring, I'm not going to have any gluten, but I'm going to have a whole bunch of grains. I'm going to live on rice. I'm going to live on gluten-free cereal. I'm going to live on, whatever. That's still going to drive that carbohydrate metabolism into overdrive.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That probably sounds a little bit complicated, but if I just said one thing, get your processed foods out of your life as much as you can. Don't drink your calories. Alcohol, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Not necessarily zero. Watch your coffees. Coffee is actually excellent. Black coffee in small amounts have been... The studies have gone back and forth, but overall, I generally allow coffee. I drink a little bit myself.
Yeah.
You have to have a little fun. You definitely have to have a little bit of fun, of course, but you're not going to solve that. You can't go have a whole lot of fun and accept to solve a two-week diet. Vibrant led to Glow because I realized that I hadn't had the opportunity to address meditation and mantras and daily exercises more for mind and soul.
Yeah.
You can't put everything into one book. Things need to be digestible. Yeah.
True.
Glow is really digestible. It's a 90-day plan.
Yeah.
It's a reading in the morning and a reading in the evening. It's one page Monday through Sunday. And then repeat it
one page?
90 days. One page in the morning, one page in the evening. You can do 15 minutes, practice the exercises and the mantras each day. And that's nice. It's by your bedside. It's portable. It's digestible.
Yeah.
It's not beating you up about diet. Vibrant doesn't beat you up about diet, but it is a diet, nutrition, fitness plan.
Yeah.
For sure. And Glow, I really saw as more motivation, daily intentions, daily aspirations, digestible, good to start in the summertime. It's happy because I feel that people tell you to meditate or that you have to work on the inner glow, the inner life. But how?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. I love the simplicity of it, right? It's sometimes it is really nice when you sit down, you can say let me like just read one page and know how to do this process, right? It's so much simpler versus, you know, you could read something, you go, that was so much information and so good, but it was so much. What, you know, where do I start? Yeah. So I love that it's a daily plan for 90 days that gets you on track. It's awesome.
And it spells a fabulous acronym, Vibrant. Mondays are voice. Tuesdays, intuition. B, Wednesday, balance. And so on and so forth. So it's also, it's a fun journey. We have simple mantras and exercises. And I don't mean to overstate the simple. People are very intelligent about health information these days. Yeah. I know that. But I also think they're overloaded. Because I am. And I'm a health
Yeah.
I can get, you could probably have asked me a few questions about some diet that's out there that I haven't encountered yet.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, well, tell me a little more, or let me, you know, read a little bit about it. And I can probably tell you the holes in it. But it's easy to get sucked into diet and lifestyle stuff. It's really, really easy.
Yeah.
And then to not get the result. And then the cycle just keeps going. And I really believe people are their best health professional. I really, really do. I believe intuitively we know and we learn so much more than we realize. And while there are people like me that want to help you and coach you, and physicians in all different specialties and professionals in all different specialties, I really think you know as you learn through your journey how to look after yourself. But you could use, almost everybody could use some coaching. I like to be coached.
Yeah.
I don't take on all of my own. I really don't.
Yeah. Love it. Well, Dr. Stacy, this has been a fun conversation to go through your journey, your figure skating journey, you know, everything you're doing today. And I'm curious, you know, if our listener wants to get more information on you, hang out with you more, dive into your world, where's the best place for them to find you?
DrStacyStevenson.com is easy. That's where I am.
Heck yeah.
And also you can find the books on Amazon, all your major booksellers. I love independent booksellers too. So we work hard at that.
Heck yeah.
That's where we are.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And my last question for you, a question we ask to all of our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we also believe in doing it through action, is what is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction?
Well, they can read Glow. I'm teasing. Ruthless, right?
Yeah. Love it.
Next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction.
Yeah.
How about you be your silence? Find 15 minutes where you are in absolute calm silence, not a practiced meditation, or I'm supposed to say these words, or I'm supposed to sit this way or do this. How about just enjoy 15 minutes of silence and see where that leads you?
I love it. Heck yeah. Awesome. Well, Dr. Stacy, thank you again so much for being here. Massively appreciate it and enjoyed our conversation.
You're welcome. Thank you, Stu. Take care.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you got some value from that episode with Dr. Stacy. More importantly, I hope you, as always, start to apply at least one thing from this episode so you can start living a more vibrant life. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can continue to join us every single week on this show. And other than that, have a beautiful, wonderful, outstanding rest of your day. And I will talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.